Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Today is a lovely and whooping Thursday. It is 5 minutes past the hour of 10. Thank you so much, Universal, for coming through and guiding the people into the correct way. And ladies and gentlemen, so here on Pulling Heartstrings on this lovely, lovely, beautiful Thursday evening, what we are going to do is we're going to talk about beautiful things, right? We're going to talk about fixing a few things here and there in our little lives, you know, because sometimes I'm out there, okay. Sometimes sometimes we just need to feel a little bit better about two things. So we are going to be talking about resolving family conflicts. We're talking about you. We're talking about your cousin. We're talking about your brother. We're talking about your sister. We're talking about your mother. We're talking about you internally there within your family. We're talking about your family. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the reason that I decided that we're going to be talking about resolving family conflict is because I feel like many of us are living in shambles, you know. There's a family member that doesn't talk to who, there's a family member that doesn't talk to who, and there's just conflict. And sometimes these things are generational, right? Sometimes these things are within your bloodline, and this is a curse that an ancestor must have picked up along the way. And when they picked it up, right, it is within your blood system. So even if you are the most holiest of holiest and you are the nicest of nicest, it seems as if conflict always follows you, or it seems as if there's just no peace within your domain. And even if you look at the issues that the issues that arise within your family conflicts, right? They are not issues to make you not talk for 2 years, to make you not talk for 3 years, to make you not talk, to make you not sit down and, sit down, calm down and talk about it, be in it. There's no problem that is so big that it can't be resolved. But yet within your family, it seems as if when you resolve one, another one pops up. When you resolve one, another one pops up. And I think that this is a befitting conversation, especially with the previous show of Universal Church that had come through. I think that, there are a lot of things, you know, pambepo, there's a pae, and then there is pa witchcraft, and then there is, pa bad luck, and then pa not being a believer, and pa anger, and pa. So we are going to be pawing. We're going to be talking about this issue. We're going to be talking about this specific issue because I think that somewhere, somehow, if you don't understand what's going on, then maybe, right, we can dissect things together. Sometimes things are psychological. Sometimes things are spiritual. Sometimes things are earthly things. And sometimes it is just miscommunication and misunderstanding and miss. And we keep missing it, right? And there are certain conflicts that are, the thing that I've learned about conflict along the way, you know, and I'm a very senior young person in my mind. I'm like, I don't know. My friend used to say she's a 300-year-old Oma. I think that me and her, right next to each other, we're both 300. Maybe me, I'm 400 even, because how. Some of the things that I can say about conflict is that, When it comes to conflict, especially within a family setting, the thing is that the issue is the same. And this is something that I know also within relationships of any kind. The issue is the same. If you find yourself arguing with one person over a long period of time, then that would mean that there is one issue that is not resolved. There's one issue that is not understood. There's one issue that is not looked at attentively, and there's one issue that is so small, but yet it causes so much harm. So for example, within relationships, within a relationship context, right, you find that a couple argues a lot, Now, this couple that argues a lot, right? They usually argue about different kinds of things. Like maybe they're arguing about bread, or they're arguing about a plastic bag, or they're arguing about maybe you were looking funny, or whatever they were arguing about. And if you pay attention to the argument, right? There are lots of words that creep in. Now, I'm a wordsmith. I believe in words. I believe in what you tell me. I believe in what I hear and what I see within what you are saying. I'm a firm believer in you don't just say what you want to say. You say that you feel. And there's no such thing as it was the correct phrasing or the wrong phrasing, or it was not done properly. There's no such thing in my world. That's why I always say that when we're arguing, pick your words wisely, because I will hold you to it. I will hold you to it so bad. And if you say something that is out of line and out of step, right? I understand when somebody is speaking out of anger. I understand when somebody is speaking out of their hearts. And I understand when somebody is speaking out of spite or malicia. And I understand when somebody is speaking out of love, because you display the same emotion within your words. So if you are speaking out of anger, right, there's a lot of frustration that comes through your voice, and the words you choose to channel are those of anger. If you're speaking from malicia, right, you can say something in a calm tone or in an angry tone, in whatever tone that you choose to use. But if you are speaking from malicia, it will always be hurtful. It will always be hurtful. And it will always cut deep. So this is a mother telling a daughter that this is why I never wanted to have children, you know? And this could be, out of malicia, right? And it could be out of frustration as well, because if the children that I have are not listening, and the children that I have are not amounting to what they need to amount to in order for them to be able and capable of surviving without me, then the frustration goes deeper than this that is on the table. The frustration goes to the fact that I didn't want to have children for this particular reason, and now you are just showing me that I was not supposed to have children. So it is not a you are so frustrating to me and you must change. It is a matter of you are having a human experience that I cannot handle, that brings me a lot of frustration, that takes me back to the bad choice that I made, a choice that I second guessed, a choice that I decided to downplay. And now this choice is coming to bite me in the bum. And we can say what we want about, especially about mothers, right? When we talk about mothers, we assume them to be nurturers. We assume them to be caregivers. We assume them to have love. We assume them to be affectionate towards us and loving towards us and wanting the best for us and wanting us. Right? This is what we assume them to be. But the world doesn't work like that. We have to work for the love. We have to work for the affection. We have to display signs of being worthy of somebody's affection, somebody's love, and somebody's kindness. Now, if we are going on the pointer, not even merit, but just the obvious fact of DNA, DNA must guarantee me love. DNA must guarantee me respect. DNA must guarantee me a space within your heart. Then I would say that that is a fib that we tell ourselves. And that is why we are so unfortunate with people that are close to us, that we assume to love us and we assume to care for us, and we entitle ourselves towards other people's affection, regardless of what they are displaying. So it is not that you are bad. It is not that you are a mistake. It's not any of that. It is you are a wrong choice, because I can't handle the pain that I have in my heart because of the love that I have for you, or the fact that I am responsible over you for as long as I live. And for as long as you live, I am responsible for you. And even in death, I am responsible for you. And this responsibility in itself is what I didn't want, and hence why I didn't want children, and hence why in a frustrating moment, I am going to say this. It is malicious. Because I do also know that saying this to you is hurtful. That is how I know that saying this to you is something that can cut deep and can walk with you for all the days of your life, simply because I spoke my mind out loud to somebody that shouldn't have heard my thoughts. Are we together? Are we together, ladies and gentlemen? The number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number in studio. Please, please feel free to come through and channel in and give your vibrations towards this conversation, because this conversation is a conversation that we are struggling with. We're struggling with this conversation because many of us are living in households where there's no peace. There's no peace. There's no camaraderie. There's no laughter. There's no love. And there's just nothing. We coexist because we are entitled to the space. We coexist because we are entitled to be a part and parcel of a family structure. We coexist. But we are not coexisting in a natural form where we have camaraderie, where we have love, we have unity, we have peace, we have correct guidance, and we have discipline and principles. We are coexisting in a place like tenants, where you come from your house, I come from my house, and we coexist within this house that we were given by a stranger to accommodate, hoping and trusting that we would not burn their houses down. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in turmoil. We're talking about family conflict because left, right, and center, this is the part that we see the most. It is an unspoken elephant. It is a white elephant in the midst of gray elephants. It is a white elephant that dominates the whole space. It might even be a pink elephant that dominates the whole space and takes up room and takes up energy and takes up the heart. But at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, if we can look within ourselves, then we can find answers. They ask the question of who are your ancestors. Ladies and gentlemen, your ancestors are within you. I know for the religious people, and this is in no way trying to trump on your religion. No, not at all. This is me exercising my freedom of expression, my freedom of religion. They say with the religious people, the Bible people, I call you guys the Bible people. It is what it is. I love you still. You're still amazing to me, because I mean, that's discipline, right? The Bible people say that there's no relationship between the dead and the living, but yet, right? We go to altars and we pray, and we're praying towards descendants of somebody. We are praying towards somebody that left a lineage. We are praying towards a story that doesn't continue into adulthood. And what do you call now somebody that was born out of somebody? Somebody that was born by somebody that had a seed planted. But it was not semen. It's a descendant, right? And we can all say that, yeah, we are all descendants. But at the end of the day, you have your own descendants. You have your own descendants. And these descendants, right, are who you are. So if you're looking for your ancestors out there, you have to listen to your voice and you have to listen to your inner chi. And you have to find grounding. Now, part of the things that, part of... When we talk about there's no relationship between the dead and the living, it is kind of difficult, because the same people that say that there's no relationship between the dead and the living are the same people that can tell you that there are generational curses. If there's no relationship between the dead and the living, then why do the living have the curses of the dead? Why do the living still carry on the burden of their ancestors if there is no connection? It's because there is a connection. So some curses and some lucks that are drawn away, or some stolen destinies, and all of this is a part and parcel of your heritage, something that you inherited, and it is you, the waymaker, right? You, the waymaker, that is now having an opportunity and having the world at your fingertips to learn how to break these chains. And part of the chains that we're trying to break today is the conflict within our households. Why do we have so much conflict? And this conflict that is there, is it because we don't understand one another? We choose to not understand one another? Or is there just a bad party and a good party? And unfortunately, that is the yin and yang that's within your family structure. Because we see other family dynamics, and we can say all we want to say about it being magical and being beautiful and being amazing, right? And we can also say, because it makes us feel bad to see others prosper within their families and we don't prosper. It makes us feel bad. No matter who you are, you can come here and tell me today that you don't feel nothing when you see other people and their families, right? Having reunions, having parties, getting along. A gang of children getting along with their cousins, sisters, uncles, brothers, everybody is there, and they can eat together. They can sing together. They can be in one environment. And don't tell me you don't feel jealous, because I know I do. Don't tell me you don't feel jealous. Don't tell me you don't feel bad. Don't tell me that it doesn't bother you that your family is incapable of this. And even if you try, right, your family just doesn't sit. They will all come, but they all come for different reasons. One would come because they want to see what Ndapanda is wearing. Two, the other one will come because they want to see if that other one really has AIDS. Three, the other one wants to see if the other one really went crazy, want to see their mannerisms. The other one wants to go and gossip about the other one's marriage, and the other one wants to talk about the other one's unfaithful husband. The other one wants to talk about the alcoholic spouse. The other one wants to have a family meeting to talk about the generational curses because at church they said. And the other one wants to participate to go and confront the person that the witch doctor said that is witching them in the middle of the night, and that's why they get night terrors, right? Everybody has these malicious intentions, and when it comes, it blows up in everybody's face. And don't tell me you don't feel bad. Don't tell me you don't feel bad when you see other people getting along and it just ends with, okay, good night, love you, Cassie, and everybody goes. And you're like, wow. Must be nice, because you know that such things can never happen within your society, can never happen within your family structure. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. Let's talk about the conflicts that you guys are having. What kind of conflicts are you guys having? And is there a point where you actually start to believe that maybe, just maybe, right, this is not even our battle? Maybe, just maybe, we're the ones that are supposed to finish it. Maybe, just maybe, we're the ones that are supposed to cut it. Maybe we're the ones that are supposed to mend it. Maybe we're the ones that are supposed to not continue with it. Sometimes, right, we have to break these. And I know you are thinking, matriarch, what are you telling us? Are you telling us that we must go to Ndudu? Or are you telling us that we must go to Pantu? Or are you telling us that we must go to the church to fix our families? I'm saying, notice. Notice. Evaluate. Many of us want to blame the whole calamity and the whole destruction and disaster on one person. And that guy usually calls himself the black sheep of the family. But when you eliminate the black sheep of the family and you eliminate the things that they do, you see that there is no real harm that this person is doing. It's the rest of the structure that leans on them doing something wrong. If you have a problem with somebody that drinks, then stop funding it. How can you have a family member. You guys have that uncle. You guys all have that uncle, right? That, that shows up to parties and tells you guys the truth and tells you guys, your mother's secrets, the other time that she aborted and the other time that she was taken because she had an STD. You know that uncle. The uncle that tells you the things, the unmentionable things within your family, that uncle peels it and vomits it onto the table and tells you guys that you guys are fake because you guys are out there pretending. You're pretending. You're pretending to love one another. You're pretending to be together. You're pretending that this is harmonious. Yeah? And uncle is Uncle Okwakora. Uncle Okwakora. Uncle Okwanata. Uncle Wagara and Retonturo solo te pakon. That's exactly what we feel about that uncle, right? That uncle, malume, uncle, tateguro, uncle, gugu. That's exactly how I feel about this uncle. But the question still remains. Because we all dislike the uncle. We're not a fan of him. We're like, ugh. But we all go. Yeah. And then he spills some truth. It's only that sometimes, when you are too much in uncle's face and uncle knows things about you, then you become the target. And that's why you somehow stay away from uncle. You only chill with him on the first beer and then the second beer, you're out. You run to the back of the house. You're all of a sudden, you're cleaning gutters. Yeah, that's you. I hear you. I see you. But if we had to look away from uncle, if we had to look away from uncle and see what is uncle's demise, ladies and gentlemen, who's fueling uncle's addiction? Who's fueling uncle's alcohol? Uncle doesn't have money. Uncle is unemployed. Uncle doesn't look for work. Uncle has never worked in his life. He's just his parents' child and it's your grandparents and they are there. Uncle doesn't do nothing. He does jack. Nothing. But uncle has a drinking problem. My question is, who fuels his alcohol addiction? And before you become an alcoholic, you were a normal person and Omaudiwu drew you to that, right? I get it. I hear you. I see you. Mara, who fuels uncle's destructive paths? Is it not you guys? Because when uncle asks you for money, when he's sober, you give uncle. Then uncle comes back and insults you left, right, and center when he's drunk with the money that you gave him to buy alcohol. Are we fueling addictions in our families to maintain peace? Or are we fueling addictions so that we don't have to focus on the real culprits? Because it's easy to throw somebody under the bus, right? And say that person is just like that. Our uncle. Uncle is just like that, my dear. Uncle, my dear. Uncle, uncle is intense. Mara, you know. Uncle. Uncle doesn't work. And uncle is not drinking cheap liquor. So uncle is fueled by you. Because you want to see as a family who's on the table this evening. You want to see who's being roasted this evening and whose secrets are being blurred out this evening. I know that sometimes, right, families are so dysfunctional that we start to appreciate the families that we are married into. You appreciate them not because they are better than your family, even if they are. We appreciate them because there's something that your family doesn't have. And maybe that's peace. Maybe they resolve conflict different. Maybe they do things a little differently. And in this different episode that they do, you appreciate it because appreciating it would be a great deal. to you. So, ladies and gentlemen, what is it? How do we resolve conflict? Conflict is ontamanana, anything that is not nice. Arguments, arguments, going at it, bickering, fighting, conflict. Conflict is when we are not at peace, then we are at conflict, or we don't care. It's one of the two. But don't care is something else.
Ondakarahandu yako parateza morwe data. Paife, ohandimo kuyadi. Nondaka, ne data, no shoyo o tungarakava hupi. O netwe kaimwe, o kufutarumwe, o kuinyingarumwe, o kujapandali, fio papa ndauka. Onda pumga o netwe kaoyo, hai jira jira, ya fange. O mafikwa amwe, o handi streaming, o mafikwa amwe, o handi popi, o mafikwa amwe, o handi nigaishe, poshikanto shimwe. Pamwina parateza, o inda holora, ameha ishi pangere, osho, paumwene. Dira dira oma kwa tafanoni data momkaro wili mwana parika okutuma koutungaraka okustreaminga na okudenga pamwe na Parates konga Parates Namibia always Parates onda karahandu yako Parates morwe data paife ohandimo kuyadi nondaka ne data no shoyo outungaraka vahupi. O netwe kaimwe, o kufutarumwe, o kuinyingarumwe, o kujapandali, fio papa ndauka. O nda pumga o netwe kaoyo, hai jira jira, ya fange. O mafikwa amwe, o handi streaming, o mafikwa amwe, o handi popi, o mafikwa amwe, o handi nigaishe, poshikanto shimwe. Pamwina parateza, o inda holora, ameha ishi pangere, osho, paumwene. Dira dira oma kwa tafanoni data momkaro wili mwana parika okutuma koutungaraka okustreaminga na okudenga pamwe na Parates konga Parates Namibia always
Parates. At my age you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R. Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.6.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Ipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opoewe ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwala. Kono ngeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ngetashake ngeshe faa omarudi tayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijabo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kongerewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM. The eye.
evening, ladies and gentlemen. Atumukundum. We're saying good evening to you. Hi, coming live from the studios of Eagle FM. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about family conflict. We're talking about how to resolve it. Sorry. I know it doesn't sound great in your ears. Sorry. Maro andi shaterwa shashi. No, this is a conversation that we need to have, guys. You guys are quiet. You guys are pretending. You guys are there. Wondering, Kucha, why don't you talk to your cousin? Why don't you talk to your sister? Why don't you talk to who? I come from a family that is, hey, if I describe my family, I would say that my family is very small. And, the mannerisms that we have as children is a display of, our elders. So, I try not to, because my mom has a tendency of okuiteka. So she surrenders quickly. So she says things like, yeah, fine, just do whatever you want. Or, you know, like, pati no shuambo. Esawa. Or hiteka. And she's the oldest. She should have been the last born, but okay. She's the oldest, right? And then she has siblings. And usually when she has conflicts with her siblings, she keeps quiet. She retreats and she doesn't say anything. But then with her, she's also very sharp. We can call it bold. We can call it forthcoming. We can also call it mean, because she speaks her mind regardless of how it makes you feel. Now, the problem has always been the conveying of the message. Yeah. And this is something that I've picked up also with my later years. You know, I used to be much nicer. I used to be much nicer than this. Now I'm just brutal. I'm brutal because, okay, in my defense, the reason that I'm brutal is not because of where I come from. The reason I'm brutal is because I don't have patience. I don't have patience for you to get it. I don't have patience for you to understand. And I don't have tolerance like that. Or I didn't have. And I'm working on it now as an adult. And this working on it as an adult is also letting me see a few things. And that is why I've learned to channel my brutality. Because I'm a sharpshooter. I speak. And I usually only speak when I'm in a comfortable zone. And I don't speak much when I'm in an uncomfortable zone in terms of anger or in terms of disappointment. I don't speak much. If I'm still speaking, I'm comfortable. If I'm not comfortable anymore, I stop speaking. And then I just allow. I allow you to go with the flow of whatever you are flowing with. And some would say that there are similarities between my mother and I. And then you find my dad. My dad is also, it's like my mom and my dad are like one person. They are the same in so many ways. And I get why they didn't work out. Like right now as an adult, I get why they didn't work out. And I get why it worked out with their next partners. I think they were just put together to procreate. I think they're just put together to make me, and then they go their separate ways, because my dad is also very much the same. But the difference with my dad is that he's not a person that just gives up like that. Like, ah, fine. No. Mm-mm. My dad is one of those drillers. Hey, Salfa, yo drill and dreig in. He was one of those torpies. He was like that. Or at least, the sides of him that I did see, he was very mean. And he was mean in, now when I say mean, and I'm talking about my dad, hey, there are some adults there that are like, how can this child just go on to national radio? Eh? Ola duara irimoshiwana. And she's saying that her dad is mean. But it's true. You know, I try to always speak truths, so that when I reach who I reach with honesty and with dignity, because I live a dignified life with a lot of self-respect, and I'm working on self-love. So he's one of those people that would say, I would never forget the day that he said that my text message, it was a text message or a letter that I wrote, and I had a spelling error, and the spelling error was speech, right? So there was always there's always been a difficulty with speech for me. It's either I must put two E's, you know, or I must put EA. Mm-hmm. And usually when I am writing fast, I put an E and an A, and we all know that one doesn't work out. And with him, he said like, yeah, you cannot even spell speech, and you one day want to become a lawyer. And this was not even high school. It was primary school. And for me, it was like a blow, you know, and you didn't have to say that. You didn't have to say that. And who said I want to become a lawyer anyways? And so with my dad and I, we would always butt heads, you know, we butt heads, and then we chill for a little while, allow the other one to cool off. And then, in a couple of months, we call each other again. Fera, it's not man. It's a, oh, cheating for me, rapelni. We go be cheating for me, rapelni. I cheat, okay, rapelni. Mareso, right, on says no, iso. Eh, no, who don't, on no, vares, che, I can speedy train. Okay. Come, no, latic for you. A biggie cosmetics, han, kuop, ah, hien problem, ni topi. Ek, wach, mar, for you. It's not so. So that's the kind of relationship that we had. But the mean speaking, it is true. I did misspell it, you know, but I think it was the delivery in that hurt my feelings, you know. And then also my mom struggles with delivery, because my mom is also just like that, struggles with delivery. So now if you guys have two people that struggle with delivery and they are in a relationship, are you not just going to be having people that are hurt all the time because both the people struggle from delivery? So every time they say something to one another, they can only be friends. Like in their lifetime, they could only be friends. They couldn't be lovers, because it wouldn't work, because there were a lot of hurt feelings. Then you find my stepmother is very soft. My stepmother is a soft. I've never heard her insult. You know, she's soft. She's gentle. And even if you hear bad things about her, the display in which she could be whatever you say she is, right? But the way she conveys, I get why my dad stayed with her for like 20 something years, because she didn't have militia in her speaking, and he was a person of speaking. So she didn't have militia in her speaking. And she was one of those people that even if you're so angry with her, by the time you get to her, because of the way she's speaking, there's no way you're going to be displaying anger and shouting and doing any of that. And I think that's a good way to calm conflict. The problem is that the problem doesn't go away. We're not going to do anything about it. We're just not going to argue about it. And we're not going to address it either. Because how do you address something with somebody that is just too gentle and not defensive? And even if he came home and he was very frustrated, she would answer with a ladylike tone, which is more naranje, you know. And you're like, ah, now how do you, where do you put your anger? Because clearly this person is not here for that. And I get it. So, and then you find the rest of my family, and they have their same characteristics. And part of their characteristics is that they are not really going to reach out to you if something is wrong, in terms of your relationship. So they just let it slide. So even with my mother's younger brother, the one that follows her, they had spent like a while without talking. And then when they resume their relationship, they're usually talking about the other two siblings. And so there was a lot of gossip, you know, there was a lot of gossip, but it's not gossip if it's talking your feelings, right? Especially if your feelings are towards another person. But the question is, why are we not telling the people that actually aggrieve us of how we feel towards them, instead of going to discuss it with somebody that is also aggrieved? So it's two aggrieved people that have a common denominator. And that's how it has gone. So now this is the routine of the elders, right? And then you find the children. And when we were younger, this was not our pattern. We used to argue, you know, you argue it out and then you leave it there. And then we can resume the relationship a little later and it's fine. But now we have come of age where most of us, if not, right?
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine. Dah, yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you. Cause you clearly haven't been polanified. Like, boring day at the spun. Polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
Yes, that one caught me off guard, but it is what it is. We are still here. So, right. As we are aging, I'm starting to see the same traits that my mom and her siblings had. Now, my dad was an only child, so he had no one to fight with. He had no one to display anything with. He was an only child, so it was just him, you know, and then he was an orphan and then that's it. Yeah. And then us now that come from him. But then with my mom, right, and her siblings, we understand their relationship. And now we, the over 20s, the 25ers and above, we have the same. We have the same way of fighting where we go amongst each other and we talk about one another. Instead of going to talk to the person that aggrieved you, we talk about one another. Then we go against each other. And the worst part about this is that when we all come together, we all want to pretend like everything is okay and we don't really solve anything. Some issues are so uncomfortable that even bringing them up would be the major discomfort in the first place. And also there's this thing that happens within the family that the person that is the most wrong but is the most difficult is usually not reprimanded. They're not reprimanded because everybody is afraid. They're not afraid of the person. They are afraid of the conflict that will come. They are afraid of the argument. They are afraid of it going up. They are afraid of the person's character and what type of person they are. And as a result, the person that is aggrieved usually ends up suffering at the hands of their own family because their families don't actually stand up for them. And it is just heartbreaking for them. And it now causes, right? It causes this internal something within the heart that just makes you not want to participate in the family structure anymore. Because I mean, why am I going to, participate in this if this is clearly not for me and it's not working out for me specifically? And that is why many of us must come to points where we are most addressing the elephant in the room. All right. So the elephant in the room is conflict. So how do we resolve a family conflict? And if you have conflicts of any nature, please do call in. The number in studio is 083-288-401. Please do call in and let's talk about the conflicts that you guys have within your families. And then maybe we can talk about it, and resolve it. It's especially just for you. It doesn't have to be for anybody else. It could just be for you because I think that at this point, you kind of deserve to be at peace. And for those that want to give up on family members, anybody, any family member, I understand. I understand how it feels to be constantly disappointed, constantly hurt, constantly undermined, manipulated whatsoever. Constantly having to be the bigger person when somebody is not even told or reprimanded in becoming the bigger person. You always have to constantly be the bigger person. I get it. I understand. And you are not wrong for not wanting to participate anymore. Because I think I'm also at that. I am at that point where I don't want to reconcile. I don't want to fix nothing. I don't want to participate. I don't want to be there. I don't want to help. I don't want to do nothing. I just want to let this person be. Let them be. Let them. And that's it. And I choose to walk away. And walking away is such a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing for other people because they don't anticipate that you, the carrier of the world on your shoulders, you, the carrier of the family, you, the carrier of other people's things, nonsense, right? Could ever get tired. And then one day you wake up and you're tired and you're done. And this tired and done, it's just done and there's nothing else anybody can do about it. So we want to talk about, is it really resolving conflict that we need to do, or do we need to give up on people? I think that the hardest thing to do is to give up on another human being, because then that would mean that they are alone. They have no one, you know, but are we going to let people stay in our lives that bring nothing but destruction, nothing but hurt, nothing but pain, and zero remorse? I don't understand people that don't have remorse when they hurt other people. I don't understand people that allow other people to constantly be hurt by others and not intercede and not come in between. Now, there's this thing of parents having favorites and parents choosing sides. You parents don't want to admit it, but it's true. It looks like it. I'm not saying that it is, but it definitely looks like it. When your child, if your child ever says that you are choosing sides or you have a favorite, look at it in true essence. But in the essence that you have to look at it is at every single child that you birth or every single child in your care has a different parent. The face is the same, the body is the same, but there are so many things that are not the same. One, where they are financially or where they were financially when they had you. Where they were emotionally when they had you. In what state was the relationship that came to birth you? All of these things play a role in how we mother our children. Now, I would like to say that I'm a gentle mother. I would like to say that, but I know I'm not. But that's what I would like to identify as a gentle mother. But I know that in particular, I am very much aware of my son's sensitivity. My son's sensitivity is knee deep and he listens to the words you say. So if you tell him that his haircut looks like a what, right? He will take it to heart. He will take it to heart and words hurt him. Everything else doesn't hurt, but words hurt him. Words hurt him deeply. So if I had to look at the parenting style that I've had with my son, it would be that of toughness. I'm trying to teach my son how to be tough with this heart that he has. To be tough without bullying him and without not making him feel safe enough to tell me what his problem is. I'm trying to be his coach and I'm trying to be his parent. And then you find on the other hand, with my youngest, right? My youngest is very much independent and she's a baby, yes, but the character that I see within her is she's like a millipede, decent putter. That it doesn't go backwards. And she is very much resilient and she's very much of a fighter and a go-getter. So she would kick and scream for what she wants. And understanding, her understanding of anything comes from a place of fear. So if I say she must put that down, she will put it down. If anybody else says it, she will not. She will put it down from my words because she doesn't want to be scolded. Hey, 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 put that down. Discipline. Then she puts it down. And there's a thing that says that you should be the type of parent that speaks once and you are heard. And when you are a parent that speaks once and you are heard, right, then you know you have parented. Now, in order for you to do this, you must avoid hurting. When you hurt them less in any way, feelings, especially feelings, because I know that within the Black community, we don't really appreciate feelings. Depending on who our parents are, we don't really pay attention to feelings, and they are not a thing in our little community. But unfortunately, us that grew up in this community are saying that we want feelings. We want feelings, and we are going to work for feelings, and you must give us feelings. And these feelings are what we are going to fight for. Oh, so that's what we're talking about. The number studio is 0832888401. That is the number in studio in case you would like to call us, in case you would like to participate in our conversation. Apart from that, we are moving into tonight's written word. So how are we going to resolve conflict? First of all, we must communicate respectfully. Now, do you guys have respect for one another? Do we have the kind of respect for one another that can actually wait for each other to finish sentences? Or are we just winging it and thugging it out? Do we communicate respectfully? You don't have to respect somebody in order for you to communicate respectfully, but I say that with a pinch of salt because I do believe that in order for you to communicate respectfully, you have to respect the person that you're communicating to respectfully. So take breaks when emotions run high, but are we allowed to? Because according to tradition and culture, when big people are talking to you, you can't just stand up and leave, you know? And I think that this narrative in itself is something that can cause a lot. It can cause the situation to blow out of proportion more than it's supposed to be. So if we just allow somebody to go, cool down and come back. The problem is that going to cool down and come back on another person's emotional time is something that defeats the purpose of the meeting or oshigongi. So at the end of the day, we want to resolve things with a person that is incapable of thinking straight because their emotions are heightened. So I don't know, man. Focusing on understanding each other's perspectives. So do we understand each other's perspectives? I get this one a lot because do we understand each other's perspectives is okay to ask. But most of us say that, yes, we understand your perspective, but do you understand mine? We also want you to understand the perspective. So now we have two people that want perspectives to be understood. Now, if we understand each other's perspectives honestly and truthfully, then why are we still fighting? It is because none of us are actually participating in understanding each other's perspectives. And that is why we are still fighting, because understanding each other's perspective would say that, oh, I get why you would be saying this. I get why you would be saying this, and I get why you feel this way, and I get it. It's not supposed to be, I get it, but do you get me also? No, because that one is most not something else. Like, yeah, I get you also, but is it really about that? Does it really have to get to that? So understanding somebody's perspective is something that is a thin line within our communication within our communications, because all of us want to be understood. Both of us. So we are in an argument, right? And I'm supposed to understand your perspective. And you are supposed to understand my perspective. The problem with this one is that I want you to understand me first. Good evening. Good evening. Hold the line.
Short on cash? Then get your USAVE for these bargains. Two tins Pacific mackerel fish in chili or tomato sauce, just $20 for both. 200 grams of champion Hunter's Poloni, just $19.99 Namibian dollars. 375 milliliter U brand tomato sauce, just $18.99 Namibian dollars. 1 liter Rietfontein nectar, guava or orange juice, also just $18.99 Namibian dollars. And 2 liter pop school drink, only $14.99 Namibian dollars. USAVE, your low budget grocery store where good food costs less.
Alrighty, good evening. Alrighty, good evening to you. We are live here on the Eagle FM platform. Please, please, please do continue. Alright, sorry about that. But ladies and gentlemen, please hold that thought as we now start to engage our conversation.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
People in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.6.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Ipura nenge leo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune uto otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumuna oijabo ili nawa ninge kwata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How are we resolving conflicts today? Well, we are starting with identifying the few things that we need to do when we are resolving conflict. So understanding each other's perspectives, that's where we stopped, right? So that we said that the first one is communication, but respectful communication. And then we said take breaks if you're too emotional. And then we said focus on understanding each other's perspectives. Now, this one would be ideal. It would be great if we could just focus on understanding each other's perspectives. But if we understand each other's perspectives, right, then that would mean I would nullify my own emotions and I would nullify my own point. So that's why we don't do it. We don't do it because we want our points to come across. So now, at the end of the day, we say things like, I hear you and I understand what you're saying and I understand where you're coming from, but do you hear me? Right? And the question would be, why would I need to hear you if you understand where I'm coming from? So maybe, just maybe, right, we need to fully understand what the other person was feeling, and then we can take it from the perspective of, yes, that is it. Okay, so, and be willing to apologize and make amends. How many of you are out there knowing how to apologize? How many of you are out there knowing how to say sorry and how to move on from sorry? So saying sorry is not a problem. It's not a problem to many of us because we were taught for a very long time, even if we didn't want to, you must say sorry, you must say sorry, you must say sorry. The problem comes in also when people are not capable of taking apologies. What are we going to do with people that don't want to take apologies? How do we go about it? How do we go about people that don't want to take apologies? Are we supposed to pretend that, okay, so since we apologized, they are supposed to take them and be fine? Or What exactly do we do with that? Because sometimes we don't want to take apologies. And sometimes the person that we're apologizing to says that, yes, they take the apology, but their attitude doesn't look like a person that has taken the apology. It's just the same way as somebody that has forgiven, but their attitude and the way that they move is not like somebody that has forgiven. Now, with forgiveness, we would have to ask questions like, just because I forgave you, does it mean that my hurt is not there and it's not fully functional anymore? Especially if we have to come to terms with the fact that you have to work on it. So listen to the other person's viewpoint. Express your own feelings using I statements and acknowledge the validity of their feelings without necessarily agreeing to what they had to say or their perspective. For serious conflicts, consider using techniques like I statements, taking a break to cool down, or seeking professional family counseling. And hey, many of us don't utilize this. I think family counselors, I think they realize that their job is also just, if they're only going to be focusing on family or shitty, it's not really going to work. So that's why they also took up other fields like being family lawyers and being family something else and then a family counselor, because families find it difficult to come and speak to a professional if it is not concerning money, if it's not concerning inheritance, if it's not concerning a crime, if it's not concerning a health issue. So let's start with how do we start talking about it. So before you have a conversation, because the way we are going to resolve conversation is through talk therapy. We're going to be talking and we're not going to be beating each other up and then saying, yeah, we are resolving conflict. We're going to be talking through it. So before you start talking, right, or before you go and sit down at the family meeting, breathe. Take a deep breath, breathe, and calm down. Because when you're calmer, you can articulate yourself better. You can be heard better. And also, you don't forget very important pointers that you are going to now bring up at the wrong space, at the wrong time, to the wrong people within the conversation that have the likelihood of misunderstanding what you have to say. If you're feeling angry or overwhelmed, ask for a time out and let other people know that you will talk to them later. So this is great within relationships, because if you are feeling conflict arising and if you are feeling some kind of way, then you can always just say, babe, I need a breather and I'm going to talk to you a bit later. Now, the problem with us is that we are impatient with one another's emotions, especially when we are the wrong ones. We are impatient with one another's emotions and we want to talk now. Why can't you talk now? Let's talk now. And when you force that, let's talk now, right? The results are never good. That is why we find people that say that they didn't intend to beat anybody, but she was forcing. She was following the guy. She's all over the place and she's forcing the conflict. Hello.
Hello.
Good evening. I'm fine. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man.
Are you doing okay? Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm quite sure.
You're quite sure? How do you know?
The way you breathe.
The way you are breathing, now you can see, which this is the breath of someone that is fine.
Yeah, I'm living my best life.
I'm living my best life. Even the way I'm breathing is like a person that is living their best life. I know I'm living my best life. Wazala, yeah. I get that. I understand that. That is great to hear. Okay.
It's a long time I have not listened to you, man.
Really? Why? What's the problem?
There's no problem.
Why didn't you listen to me?
I did not get the opportunities.
You're just working money too much. Oh, I understand. I understand. If that's why you haven't listened to me, I get it.
There's no money.
There's no money? Then what's your reason? And what's your reason if it's not money?
I got some limitation, man.
What is your limitation? Yeah.
From the family member, I was given a cab. To stop talking on the phone.
A family member told you to stop talking on the phone. Is it a family member? Is it a person that has the potential to be a family member?
Okay, you are talking about conflict. So are we talking about the causes of conflict, or are we talking about the conflict which is already there? Because I will take it from the, for example, if the conflict is already arrived, there are those methods that they pick up from my study, you are seeking for a mediator, and if the mediator did not solve the problem, then you follow the next stage, which is reconciliator. If the reconciliator did not solve the problem, then you go for arbitrator. From the management point of view. Yeah, and that one.
But how are you solving conflicts in your families? We are not talking work things.
You guys like
those things. You guys only talk about work things, but you guys don't talk about your own family members. I want to hear my dear.
Problems by communicating.
And how do you guys communicate?
Just to understand each other from a point of view, or to understand each other from the standing point, where the person is coming from.
And if we don't understand each other?
Then we take the next step.
What is the next steps?
Maybe talk to the... you look for other... party that we are not involved.
Okay. So you are going to look for...
Just come listen to our story.
Okay, so both of you or just you, or how does this work now?
I think one person has to consult the person, the third party. To come resolve the conflict.
Okay, so you are going to come to my house and ambush me?
Yeah.
Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
So you cannot come and talk to me personally. You bring someone already. Eh?
Yeah, I can convince you, or I can converse with you privately.
Eh.
Yeah, or I can make a call. I can phone you.
Eh, and if I don't want to talk to you?
Then I'll go to the next person.
Why are you forcing to talk to me, by the way?
Yeah, I think it's good. The shared problem is problem show. I have to involve you.
But if I don't want to talk to you, if I decide that, you know what, you are bad for my life, I don't want this anymore.
Well, I will move on.
You move on to where?
To the next person who is willing to help me. To the person who is willing to help me. There are many elders, there are many traditional leaders there. Out there.
So you go to a traditional leader?
Yeah, or...
To come and force me to talk to the...
To the church leader.
To come and force me to talk to you if I don't want to talk to you.
We will find an amicable way of...
I don't want an amicable problem. Way.
Mm.
I don't want.
Don't want an answer.
Nehara. I don't want.
But it's very easy to solve the conflict.
But even right now, that you are saying is so easy. You haven't explained anything.
Haven't you explained
anything?
No, I said you.
You said a whole lot of nothing. Too many nothings that you were speaking about here.
You must just say that.
So many.
Listening a lot of nonsense.
I didn't say nonsense. I said nothing. You said many nothings. Multiple nothings. So you and so have you ever had conflict in your family?
Yeah.
Tell us about it. Tell us about it. We are here for it. Tell us about it. What happened? Give us the juice. Give us the tea. What happened?
There was a point where I was in the disagreement with my elder brothers.
About what?
About the money issue.
What money issue? Talk, man. May I also come here to tell you people my things, but when it's your things, I must always drill it out of you. Tell us, what was the problem? Tell us, my dear. So your brother was chopping your money.
He chopping my money.
And he didn't, that doesn't sound like it was really your money, my friend. Even though you are talking, you are not sounding confident like a person of money. It was not your money, man. Because you cannot even tell the story nicely. But it's conflict, man. Financial. Tell us. Okay, what happened?
Financial distress.
What happened?
What happened? The money, that money I deserve it.
Inheritance or what? Talk
no, about we're doing some tenders. Then he decided to keep a big chunk on himself. So he don't want to give me my percentage.
Did you guys already agree how much your percentage was going to be? Or did you just get a big heart later on when things were paid? Because you people do that, ne? The whole time we agreed, I'm going to give you 50,000. And then when you realize that me, my cut is 1 million, then all of a sudden 50,000 is too small. Eh?
So, yeah, maybe there was a misunderstanding.
That's not me, a misunderstanding. You just saw the tender papers, then you realize that it's a lot of money. Eh? And you deserve more of that. Okay.
So from there, I just asked him, what was the distribution ratio that you use?
Why? It's not your tender?
Yeah, but it deserves...
You're an employee. How? You gave your price.
I give my price according to the quality of work that I...
Yeah, and that was the price for your quality of work. Now all of a sudden you want to say that I know because of how much the people are paying, I deserve a bigger cut.
Yeah.
Alex. Did your brother divorce you?
No.
He should have divorced you.
Sashi?
You are Iscariot.
Oh.
Yeah, no, you're a Iscariot man. How can you just go and change on Nutwa Gringa, then all of a sudden you want to go on? No, it's not that, but that's not ethical. That's not ethical. No. You guys say those things to make yourselves feel better about being bad people. But the truth is, if you have agreed on a specific price, it's just like you saying, I bring you, you are a mechanic, right? And I bring you my vehicle. And we agree that you are going to fix my vehicle, right?
Yeah.
And anything else that is wrong with my vehicle. Eh? You hear the agreement. And anything else that is wrong with my vehicle, you will fix it and I'll give you a sum of 2,000. Right? And then you start fixing. Then you notice that the problems that are within the vehicle are actually a lot. And then also on top of that, right? You also notice that I have a lot of money. Then you decide that, you know what? The problems in this car are a lot and I'm upping my price. At this point, you have taken out my engine, you have put it somewhere else and you have basically done a lot that cannot be undone.
That is how you are. Don't do the math.
But whose fault is it that you didn't do the math on your work?
Oh, I thought the problem was simple.
But you're not supposed to think that the problem is simple. You're supposed to know what the problems are.
You are not supposed
to agree to things of future. And any other problem, you will fix it, you winner. So now you want to come and change things because you saw my wallet. My wallet is not closing.
I will change the goalpost.
Yeah, but that's bad. Yeah, that's bad. No, that's really, really bad. Has he ever done business with you again?
Uh-huh.
Don't lie.
Okay, I'll tell the person that those are the hidden costs.
No. Has he ever done business with you ever again after that day?
Yeah.
No, then he's a fool. Because I would never do business with you ever again.
Yeah.
No,
what if you don't have a choice?
No, if I don't have a choice, then I most probably would, but it will not be my heart. And to work with somebody that doesn't actually want to work with you, because of who you are, that is something that says a lot about you.
You want to tell me that I'm a crook?
You are. Don't you see it as such?
Yeah.
Hey, you think that's it's absolutely normal, that one?
Yeah.
It's absolutely normal to want to change your price.
And not get money illegal. That was just realized it on the later stage that the amount of work is not adding up.
Yeah, but that's a lie. That's something that you are saying right now, because I had mentioned it. But prior to that, you were not saying anything about the workload. You were saying things about the money that he got for the tender. So your...
Him, he got a bigger portion.
Yes.
He also deserved to get a big pie.
And that's why I would never work with you again. Maybe he's a nice person. Maybe him, he's a very nice person.
The problem is, you know, a black person.
It's not a black person. It's just you. No, it's not a black person. It's not a race thing. It's not a race thing. It's not a race thing. It's just you. You are, you just don't have work ethic and you don't have work morale.
No, the problem with the black person, he grew up without knowing the money.
No, not black person. Maybe you grow up. You grow up without money. Not us. Just you alone. Many of us go into business deals with friends and relatives, and we work peacefully, and we don't go and change later. We are not chameleon. Hate thibi thimbi. We don't go and change later. You, on the other hand, say, this is something that you must go and sleep on today and ask yourself these questions, which are, and what type of person na am I? No, we like to blame everybody else but ourselves, but the truth is, right? You went to change the script. No, he doesn't feel like he deserves more than others. That's his price. You could have also just put your price, but you didn't. Why didn't you put your price?
I don't know.
Yeah, and that's the real problem here. You didn't put a price for your work, and you feel bad that somebody else put a price for their work, and now you want to call them what? You want to call them unfair for having a good price.
Yeah, they are jackrabbits.
For having a good price for their work. That means you undervalue yourself and you sell yourself short, right? And now you want everybody else to feel bad about it. So how was this conflict resolved? You went to tell your mom.
No.
Yes.
I wanted to fight.
You went to tell your mother, you.
I wanted to fight.
That's why I would never do business with you, you. No.
Wakaropota.
Wakaropota. How did you resolve it? Because even if you guys had gone to the police for it, right? The police would still say that yes, but this is your price.
No.
Yes.
No,
it would still remain, Kucha. This is the price that you gave this gentleman.
Yeah,
he paid this price. And now that you see that there's more money, you want to change the price, but it's not part of the agreement. And also, you are a person that knows law of contract. So I don't understand why you don't see the immorality within this conflict.
Maybe it was this price.
Yeah, but just because you are desperate doesn't mean anything for us. So what? You are desperate, so we cannot work with you, or what?
At the beginning I was desperate.
Yes, but you are desperate, so we must not work with you, or what? So if I find a nice tender there at Ombai, I must not even call you because you are a desperate person. Or what? What are you saying? Just because you're desperate doesn't mean anything for me as a business owner.
The person I also end up telling him that the first place that the first quotation that they give was wrong because I was not taking inflation into consideration. Me?
I would never work with you again.
The cost of living is increasing.
I would not work with you ever again. You are not a dignified business person. Because if you can do this to family members, what do you do to strangers?
No, I'm a God-fearing person.
You can't be a God-fearing person when you crook family members.
No.
No, like.
I know what is right and I know what.
Yeah, but what is right there in somebody? This is like somebody coming to fix your laptop, right? And when they realize that you have more money, they don't even talk about the workload. They just say that I realize that you have more money, so I want to charge you more now.
You can also use you can also use credit designation. It's also doable in business.
I know you can do that if you want, but it still remains right the way I view you now.
Yeah, but if you are hit, you can...
You are a bochocho.
No,
you are a bochocho.
I'm not a bochocho.
You are a bochocho, man.
Oh,
you are a bochocho. You are a bochocho, you bochochoed your brother. You gave your brother a price, and then when you realize how much the people are paying and how much his price is, then you ongwe wakaningon timon nene. Because your brother didn't come to you and say, "Kucha, I had to kupe paringeika." Even if he did, you could have declined.
All of us have to love money.
No, not like that. I don't love money enough, ne, to crook somebody out of it. If I agree that this is my price, then that's my price.
We just be surprised.
If that is my price, then that is my price. Because if I had another price, then I would have said I have another price. Yeah, but that's the problem. That's a very big problem. And that is a very big problem.
Don't want to charge a hefty price.
Yeah, but you end up charging it anyways, and this time you go and charge it by gunpoint. Because now you have already worked, and I cannot go and undo your work that you have already done. That's by gunpoint. It is by gunpoint. Because I can't go and undo it, and I cannot go and look for somebody else to come and do something that you have already done. And I don't have a choice in the matter. At this point, I don't have a choice in the matter, but except to pay you or to keep fighting with you. Now, who wants to keep fighting?
You can also look by the quality of work, the way I deliver the goods.
Quality of work has nothing to do with it. It's just your price.
It is also a matter of... Because we attach value to the quality.
But if you feel like it, if you feel that is correct that you did, then it's okay. Who am I? I'm just a girl from the radio.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, right? If you go and think about it, you will know you are wrong.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, can you also give me your side of the story? How do you... tell us a situation where you were in the conflict.
A conflict with my relatives or what?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I also want to hear from you.
No, but I've been speaking about it, you know, but it's okay. Yeah, I have been speaking about it. So generally, this is the only conflict that I have within my family structure. And it's the conflict between my older brother and I. This conflict is something that goes way back. Like it's such a bad thing. And it's so heartbreaking for my mother because biologically we are just two. But we don't get along. And the conflict that we have with this man is that he's like a jealous person.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like a jealous person. So he assumes, he just doesn't keep my name out of his mouth ever in his life. Yeah. So that is the type of conflict that we are having. We have continuous conflict. It's forever now. Like forever. So I chose that I'm just going to avoid him and stay away from him completely and just write him off. So the conflict that was there for today was that because I stay with his daughter, right? Ever since basically she was born, I've been, her mom. And, now that we are living we're living at our house, right? And she also lives with me. Because they are my kids, so the three of them, you know? So now it has come to a point of, I'm going to bewitch his daughter. So he doesn't want his daughter to stay with me. But also, this is not something that he has ever said to me ever in his life. This is something that he says out of my presence. So, every single time that he goes there to his house, to our home, there my mother's home, he goes and causes conflict and chaos like that. Insults each other, everybody left, right, and center. But then also he has, schizophrenia? Alcohol-induced schizophrenia. So, when he drinks alcohol, he hears voices and sees things that are not there. So in his crazy time, it's me that is his target. So I'm just his target always. And then I got tired of it. So the kids were there for like a week. They were chilling there for a week. Because we had traveled in the weekend. So they were there. So it's all the kids, right? And he had now told, Natasha, my daughter, his daughter, yeah, that, she must not come back to our house when I come and get them. And yeah. So now it was, come, get ready, let's go home. My father said, I must not go back there to home to you guys' house. And then I said, okay, not fighting for children.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just took mine. I took the ones that I birthed, my dear. And the problem is, he's not there because he lives at his own house. The problem is now, my mom is like, no, but let the kids just stay. And I'm like, yeah, but you had an opportunity to raise your own kids and you raised them. So I want that opportunity. I want to raise my own children just like you raise your own children. Why do you want to raise children for me, ma'am?
Yeah.
Yeah. And now the conflict or the situation that is there is the fact that he said this, you know? And he said, he says mean things about me and he does mean things to me and everybody wants to make me the bigger person. I must be the one that understands that him is crazy and I must be the one that understands that him, he was drunk and I must be the one that understands that he's just like that. And the way I'm resolving this particular conflict is that I'm out. Yeah, I'm out. I'm not playing anymore. I'm not participating anymore. You know, if he wants his child to stay with his mother, no problem. No problem. One less mouth to feed. It's not a problem.
Yeah.
Yes, it's not a problem. You know, if he doesn't want her to come to my house ever, no problem.
But you already created that bond.
Children grow. You know, the nice thing about children is that they do grow. You know, and they will grow up and she will come.
Oh.
Yeah, she will come by herself. She will come. I'll always be her mother.
Shalana, auntie, please, auntie.
Mother, auntie. At this point, it's mother, auntie. It's mother, auntie because I breastfed her even.
No?
Yeah. And there must not be any issue. Even when I was leaving, because his youngest son, his youngest child, his youngest son is there with my mother as well. So mm-hmm. when I was leaving, I was very specific that I'm only taking mine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only taking Natasha and Elo. The mm-hmm. small one can stay with his grandmother.
Mm.
Yes. Because this one is mine. But now, if people want to, it's people that want to bring children into big people conflict most. So, if he wants to play it like that, then it's fine.
Yeah, as long as you want to play safe.
Yeah, like, at this point, I'm really not bothered about anything. It's okay. I don't want drama. Because at this point now, people will see how serious this is now. Because they like to play it off like, I must be the one that listens. Yeah. So I must, which are not even pleasing other people, you must always put your emotions aside, right? Mm-hmm. And accommodate this person. And I am no longer in the business of accommodating this person. He can be accommodated by other people. Me, I'm good. I'm good where I am. I am fine. I'm okay. I am with my family. I'm with my ancestors. I'm with you guys. I guess, nah, man. Get on the pungwa, brother. I can call you, man.
We can call best friend.
If I need a brother, I can call you. And then we can talk nice and I can feel brotherly love and it's fine. It's true. But, unfortunately, I think that there are just certain conflicts in life that can not be, you can't fix them, man. No matter how goody goody you want to be, no matter how much of a matriarch you are, there are just some things. And
yeah, but you can find a way for conflict resolution.
The thing is that you must want to fix it. I don't want to fix that relationship. Even when I see him, I can't even look at his face. Today he greeted me. I was like, And then he even asked, and then he asked me for money. No, and then he asked me for money. I was like, I don't want.
Okay.
I don't want. It's all good.
Yeah.
I think it's time. It's time for that relationship to die. I told him I'll come to your funeral. It's perfectly fine. Nakala lino title la enjoka. Itandilombwelo ntuku chokwasa na sadan. Geronda pulwandi popinga kuchetwa valerenga tulianga pingapi,
That bond of.
But we don't have a bond.
Aye.
So it's just, when it's over, it's just over. Now I must just really practice stay away from me. Just to tell him stay away from me.
So you stand your ground or
not? Yeah. I don't want any more. Yeah, that one it's over now. It's like every single time you want to forgive him for being bad, he turns around and shows you another bad thing. Like just when you're about to forgive and forget, then he shows you why you shouldn't forgive and forget.
So you always came to sell your friends.
Yeah, no, there's no selling your dreams here.
No, I said friends.
Frames. Frames of what? Of pictures?
Frames on the loss.
Of the what? The what?
Yes. I said it's always a, there's always a story to trigger.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Even when you are like, okay, so maybe, right, we can help him with his problem, then he just shows you why you shouldn't.
You always come back and aggravate the situation.
But then also the one thing that I've realized.
Not your network. Your network.
To our network. Also, one thing that I've realized, right, is that people are not.
Your network is terrible.
People are not able to change. Can you hear me?
Sharp, sharp.
Hi. Did you just? That gentleman just spoke a whole conversation to himself. So anyways, we were saying, take a breather before you start talking, and then choose a good time. I think that this is one of our difficulties, choosing a good time when to resolve conflicts, right? We don't make appointments. We don't make appointments for conflict resolution, and as a result, we just have the problem now, and then we want to apparently fix it now, and it's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to work because kuraf. But anyhow, alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, so. The next one is what we're going to do during this conversation. We're going to practice active listening. Now, listen to understand, not just to respond. Ask clarification questions to ensure you grasp their connection. Now, people get this one wrong, where you're asking questions while I'm not done talking, and then you're like, yeah, but I'm still just asking. But that is also interjecting. So ask questions after the person has spoken. Use I statements. Express your feelings and needs using I. I feel hurt when you, I feel hurt when you did, I felt hurt when you did this or when you said that to me. Instead of you, you just did this, and then me, I'm just like this. Aha. Alrighty. And then keep it calm. Speak in an even calm tone and use your indoor voice to prevent the situation from escalating. Acknowledge and validity. Acknowledge and validate. Show that you've heard the other person by summarizing their point. Their point of view. You can also acknowledge their feelings without necessarily agreeing with their position. Focus on issues. Focus on the issue at hand. Don't go and say, in 1975 also, when you did this to me, I also reciprocated, and this and this, and why are you like this now if the other time? Don't speak about the past. And I know that this is a difficult one, especially if somebody is, like in my case, somebody is actively hurting you intentionally all the time, right? So how do you move past it if it's not the past? It's actually present continuous. So focus on the issue. Avoid name calling, blaming, or bringing up unrelated past arguments. And then the next one is know when to drop the subject. If the conversation isn't productive, it's better to pause the discussion and come back to it later. How many of us are actually capable of coming back to it later amicably? I don't know, man. Because all these things here, they just sound very impossible to do. I don't know. They sound very impossible to do. And in this impossibility, it's just like, ay, ay, ay. I don't know. All right. Know when to drop the subject. Many of us don't know how to drop the subject because some subjects are very difficult to drop. And some of us don't know how to drop the subject. Like, literally, I don't know how to just park the thought and then come back to it later. I'll be thinking about it the whole time. It will give me anxiety. I'll be so angry. I'll be so annoyed. I'll be so you check about the situation. So maybe that's something we can practice as well. Because we live and we learn, right? And then what are we going to do in order for us to move forward? Moving forward, one, we apologize sincerely. Now, apologizing is apologizing, but sincerely apologizing means that you have to mean it. And when you mean it, I can tell that you mean it. I can see that you mean it. And if you don't mean it, I can tell and see that you don't mean it. Right? So, when you've made a mistake or said something hurtful, offer a sincere apology that focuses on your actions. So you say, I'm sorry that I stabbed you yesterday with the okapi that I had in my hand. And I didn't mean to hurt you, and my sincere apologies. You know, that's how you apologize. You talk about what you did. Not just sorry, eh? No, I don't accept that apology. I need you to explain to me so that I know that you understand why I'm hurt. I'm hurt because you stabbed me with a okapi from your pocket. Okay? I'm hurt that I'm your friend and you stabbed me with an okapi. That's why I'm hurt. Number two, make a plan for the future. Suggest how you will change your behavior to prevent repeating the same mistake. So you say that, okay, from now on, I promise that every single time we walk around together, I'll just carry a panga, not an okapi. I'm joking, you don't say that, because then the person will never walk with you, because then the person will be like, then the next time the panga is in my head, no. Then you can say that next time I'll control my temper, I'll control my anger, and also I will not have any weapons so that I cannot injure you in a way of almost killing you. And even if we do have conflict, maybe we can have conflict without weapons. That's also one way to do it. And then, right, build a culture of repair. Create an environment where it's okay to ask for a redo or a repair after a conflict. Ask if we can work on it, if we can build it, if we can do better, if we can find ways in doing better. And us finding ways in doing better would also then, right, be the type of environment where we can both thrive in and we can both be at ease and at peace with one another and find ways of just living in an environment that is a bit more conducive and a bit more healthy for all of us. So let us normalize finding, right, a way to talk about redoing the environment and redoing the situation and doing better in the situation. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. So that is basically what we would like when we talk about building a culture of repair, building a culture of redoing, building a culture that is conducive, and building a culture that is for us to do better and for us to create new environments where we're not just thinking about the past and we're not just living in the past, but we are trying to move forward from the past by creating spaces that we are comfortable in, that we lurk in peacefully and quietly and safely. So yeah, familiarize starting over with the same person, recreating and rebranding your relationship, rebranding your existence, rebranding what this is so that we can just be in a better space. That would be phenomenal for us. Okay. So building a culture of repair. And then when is a problem bigger than us? When is a problem bigger than us? So big that maybe it's not you, it's me. Yeah, maybe it's not you. Maybe it's me. When is a problem bigger than us? A problem is bigger than us when we can't do any of the things that we said we should do. Where we can't do, we can't clean up. We can't apologize sincerely. We can't make a plan for the future. We can't drop the subject and continue it another time. When we can't do any of this, then we know that the situation is bigger than we thought it is. And at this point, ladies and gentlemen, I would then urge that we now seek for professional help. Seeking for professional help is most now us saying, oh guys, my family and I, we've had deep conflict and we can't fix it. And I would urge that we just see a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a social worker or somebody that has the ability to help us. And when they help us, right, we can now see whether or not we can survive this. So if conflicts are serious and you're struggling to resolve them on your own, consider seeking help from a professional family therapist or a counselor that deals with family matters. And I'm not just talking about any psychologist. I'm talking about a psychologist that deals with family conflict so that they would know how best to go about it. Because if you go to a counselor or somebody that deals with generalized conflict, generalized conflict, then they might just, you know, give you guys advice that is based off of their experiences with individuals and not with family structures. That is why somebody that deals with, for example, couples counseling, would always refer you, the people, the participants of the couples counseling to people that can deal with you guys individually and figure out how to best help you guys. Okay? I hope that this has been fruitful. I hope that you guys have had an amazing evening, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm rooting for you in this quest of finding happiness and finding grounding and finding a place of belonging. In these times of difficulties, in these times of mayhem, and also these times of joy and these times of wonderfulness, I'm wishing you Godspeed. I'm wishing you happiness. I'm wishing you love. I'm wishing you composure. I'm wishing you peace of mind. I'm wishing you nothing but goodness. And I hope that this goodness follows you. May it follow you always. May you smile now and then and truly genuinely be happy. May that be your reality. May that be exactly what your life looks like. Maybe it's not every day that you get to do it, but when you do, I want you to smile wholeheartedly. I want you to enjoy the seasons of happiness that you have, because somewhere along the line we figured that it's not a permanent thing, and life would be crazy if all of us were constantly happy. But what we won't do is sit around and sulk within the misfortunes and the dilemmas and the delays. So sometimes you're not delayed, sometimes you are exactly where you need to be. Because there are a few lessons that you need to learn. And some of these lessons are, let it go. Some of these lessons are, if it no longer serves you, let it be. If it is no longer useful for you, let it be. And that's all she wrote. ladies and gentlemen. So I say bye-bye to you this evening. And I'll see you again tomorrow. I'll see you again at 9 o'clock tomorrow. And we'll have a jam-packed session where we are talking. And we're doing this thing called life simply because we can. From me, the matriarch, the creme de la creme of Eagle FM, the disrespectful child of Eagle FM, I love you forever and a day. You are important to me. And don't you forget that.
That's why I'm always telling